Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What's going on and good morning. Today is Friday, January 31st, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And thank you for spending your Friday morning with me. It was a busy day on Thursday at the NovaCare Complex as we got news about a big-time player potentially playing in the game. We got a chance to see the Eagles out on the field for the first time since they won the NFC Championship and clinched a trip to Super Bowl 59. And I spent the time doing something you guys probably don't want to do, which is rewatch the Super Bowl from 2 years ago, because it's something the Eagles will be doing, and I think it's something to learn from as we prepare for this game and kind of decide how we think it's going to play out. So let's get right into it, because I want to play you guys what Brandon Graham had to say. And so what is on the schedule for today? We'll start where we always do, which is, as you know, 10 a.m., day 26 of the day of the Go Birds Daily podcast. We'll be live on YouTube. Come check it out. Me, James Seltzer, and our special guest, Brandon Lee Goutwin, will be in studio. So that's at 10 a.m. And then from an Eagles perspective, 2:15 practice at the NovaCare Complex. They were at the Lincoln Financial Field on Thursday, but they'll be back at the NovaCare on Friday for their second of three practices this week. They're also set to hit the practice field on Saturday. And then at 4:20, we'll get player availability, including hearing from Jalen Hurts for the first time since he was at the podium after the game. He made those comments about the straitjacket with Nick Sirianni. I'm sure he'll be asked about that. I'd be curious to see what he has to say about it. So that is what is on the schedule today. 2:15 practice, 4:20 player press conferences, including Jalen Hurts. So one of the benefits of them practicing on Thursday is we did get a chance to see them out there, see them warm up, see who's out there, see who's not. But I will say this, 3-day set of practices, I'm not saying it doesn't mean anything. Like, it's important. They're moving around. They're getting install in, all that stuff. But like, I wouldn't read into the injury report over these few days. So AJ Brown, for example, didn't practice today. Yesterday. My guess is not going to practice today. My guess, or I would bet my life, AJ playing in the Super Bowl. Cam Jurgens and Landon Dickerson didn't practice today, weren't even out there. I think they're going to play in the Super Bowl. So while it's good to see them out there and it's good to get a little bit of a look at potentially who's dealing with what, I would not read too much into the practice report for the day. So, but for those that want to know, because I simply can't get enough Eagle information right now, not practicing, but in the stadium. Devontae Smith was there, but sidelined. Dallas Goedert, Saquon, and Moro Ojomo. Moro Ojomo is dealing with the shoulder injury. That seems to be new since the NFC Championship game. It looks like he suffered that in the game. Saquon Barkley, assuming that's rest. Devontae has been dealing with a hamstring, and Dallas Goedert, probably his ankle slash rest. Not even there, or at least I didn't see him. A.J. Brown, Kenny Gainwell, Cam Jurgens, and Landon Dickerson. Obviously, Cam and Landon dealing with the two notable injuries heading into Super Bowl week. And then Kenny Gainwell probably still in the concussion protocol. A.J. Brown just not there and resting as he continues to kind of, you know, get that knee at 100% for the game. So they're a relatively healthy team. I think they'll have all 22 starters out there. And you know who else will be out there? At least it's looking a lot like it. Brandon Graham. So the team opened the practice window for Brandon Graham on Thursday. The first step, and really the biggest step, in him returning for the Super Bowl. So here's my read on it. And I'll play you audio from Brandon. You can hear for yourself. Brandon is playing in the Super Bowl. Barring him, knock on wood, re-tearing his tricep in the next 2 weeks, he will be out there for Super Bowl 59. There is no shot that this team would open his practice window and let Brandon think there's a chance he plays if he wasn't going to play. And let me tell you, the smile on Brandon's face when he talked Thursday and the idea of him playing and running out of the tunnel, and like, that dude is back and that dude is going to play in the Super Bowl. So let's get into a little bit of like how this could look before we get into what Brandon has to say. So Brandon is currently not on the 53-man roster. He is on IR. So in order for him to play in the Super Bowl, the Eagles will have to take a player off the 53-man roster. So who could that be? Looking at it, I think there's a couple options. One option, Paris Campbell. They've cut him a bunch already this season. He's kind of been in and out. Now, the thing is, though, he was active for the last game. There's only one more game, so, and it's the Super Bowl. So after this, like, you're not holding guys for next week. It's not like you're keeping on to a player just in case someone gets hurt and you might need him in the future. At this point, you'll just cut someone that's not going to play. So I think the player that gets cut will come from the inactives. That player will likely be cut, signed to the practice squad, and will be on the sideline for the game. My guess is Nick Gates. Nick Gates didn't play in the last game. He was inactive. On one hand, you could go because of Jurgens, maybe not. But Jurgens had a back injury last game and Nick Gates wasn't active. Brett Toth seems to be the third string center. It seems like it goes Jurgens, Landon, Brett Toth. So Nick Gates is the fourth string center and inactive for the NFC Championship game, and also probably not on the team next year, or at least certainly not guaranteed a roster spot. I think it'll probably be Nick Gates that's cut to make room for Brandon. And then you could always put him on the practice squad so you make sure he still gets a ring and all that stuff if they win. The other option, again, is Campbell. You could cut Paris Campbell, put him on the practice squad, and promote him. Maybe there's some contractual stuff with Nick Gates or whatever where it makes sense. But the bottom line is, one of these players is getting cut. That player, my guess is, just based off how the Eagles treat their players, will likely then be signed to the practice squad and given whatever his game check or whatever would have been. So it's mostly a paperwork thing, but they do have to get rid of someone for a roster spot. So that is how I would expect this to happen. And it probably won't happen. I'm not 100% sure when the deadline is for the Super Bowl, but it's not going to happen like today, tomorrow. It's probably not going to happen until last minute, like Friday before the game or Saturday or whatever. Like it's going to be one of those type of things. So Brandon Graham back on the practice field and talked at his locker after practice about being back. And here's what Brandon had to say about being back out on the practice field.
So how did it feel to be back out there?
Felt good, man. We just taking it one day at a time. You know, man, I'm all smiles right now, man. Just enjoying, you know, just the whole ride. Just been rehabbing, getting to this moment, trying to keep everything in, just trying to make sure that I just, you know, do whatever I can for the team. And, you know, we just been pushing, trying to get back, and everything went good so far.
What are some of the benchmarks from here on out? Is it just how you feel after practicing a few days? Just what are the things that would, I guess, keep you from playing in the game at this point?
Well, I think if I'm really striking and it's not feeling really good, I mean, today I struck a little bit and I didn't feel anything, so I'm not really worried about it. But we is gonna ramp it up a little more every day, and And I'm just happy that I ain't out of shape. You know, that's the biggest thing, because it's been a little while. But it was cool to kind of get individual. And then tomorrow I'll probably get some team reps. You know, it was good. But we're just taking it one day at a time. Just trying to go out there and help the team. But we're trying to go win this game.
You feel like you're in a good...
So as you can hear there, the main thing for him at this point is how it feels striking somebody. So, you know, not to get into too football jargony, but basically he's talking about when the ball snapped and he's a lineman, like he's striking the offensive lineman, like he's pushing his arm out. So is there a world where maybe he goes through a few practices and it's not great? Sure, I guess that's a possibility, but I just don't think that's going to be the case. I think at this point it's pretty much about whether or not he re-injures himself, and hopefully he doesn't. In addition to that, I asked him, so because the key question here is, if he plays but he's only playing three snaps, then like that's a tough use of an active roster, active spot on the roster on game day. So I asked him, like, do you feel like you could play a lot if you were to actually be active and play in this game? And here's what he had to say.
It just don't let you, lock out. Well, it don't let you, get that. You get the extension, but it's not, it don't let you, get it from like a bending. You know, I'm pretty much like halfway and then shooting out. But, man, I don't feel restricted at all. It's a good look. It's a good balance. And, man, whatever I got to do to get ready for this one game, I feel like I can do it.
You said you felt good out there from a cardio perspective in terms of in football shape. So is it something where if you are able to play, you're like full go? Or do you think it'll probably be a snap count?
If I'm going to go out there, it's going to be full go. You know, I'm not going to try to get in the way of, like, these guys work their butt off, for this moment. And, we all – Whenever coach put me in, I'm going to just make sure it's hey, all the way. And, man, I mean, leave it all on the field, and that's what I'm going to do. Any rep I get out there, hopefully I can help change the game a little bit.
So I think how Brandon feels about it could be different than how the Eagles potentially feel. I'm sure Brandon does feel like he could play a lot. That being said, it's not a lower body injury. He's been able to do cardio, just doing the BG show with him for the past month or whatever. I know he's feels really good about the shape he's in. So if he feels like he can strike well and his legs feel great, like I don't know why he couldn't play a bunch of snaps. So that's definitely an interesting development. I always thought if he played, it would be two or three snaps. And no, it really, I think, could be like, they've been doing a three-man rotation, and I think BG would be that fourth where maybe he plays, maybe not a lot of snaps just based off how they've done it, but I think for him, for them to activate him, they would have to feel comfortable that he is going to play, be able to play a role, and I think it seems like he'll be able to do that. So him being full go is definitely a development that I didn't expect, and certainly a development, a good development. So I had to ask BG this because everyone on Twitter, when it was announced that he was going to come and start practicing, was like, imagine him running out the tunnel, the emotional boost it's going to be. So I had to ask him, and just when you hear this quote, just picture a huge Brandon Graham smile, because he was smiling from ear to ear when he was talking about this. So here's Brandon about running out of the tunnel at the Super Bowl.
It just feel good to be in this position, put them pads on today, get out there and move around and be back with the guys. I was excited talking my stuff out there to the guys. It felt like it was the right thing. And so I'm just enjoying it. Today was a good one. Tomorrow we'll see what happens. And we just gonna keep working until we get there.
Yeah, and I don't just think it's gonna be for Brandon and the fans that'll be a boost. It'll be for his teammates. Like when he was talking today, players were walking by being like, BG back and stuff. So people seem really, really happy that he's going to be back. And I don't have this audio, but at one point Brandon was talking and he was asked essentially like, have you thought about the risk here? And he said, yeah, there's risk, but the reward is sweeter. And that's so true. Like, he might not play next year, but let's just say he was going to play next year. Or let's say he's a second year player. If he re-tears his tricep, it's about a 4-month injury. And I'm not advocating like, who cares if he hurts himself? Clearly he's a human and he has to go through that. But it's the Super Bowl. Like, if he re-tears his tricep in the Super Bowl in February, I mean, he could still be fine by training camp. So it's really, not to diminish the injury, but like, of course the risk is worth it. Could he re-hurt himself? Yeah, it could happen. But he could also end up playing in the Super Bowl in the final game of his career and hoisting the Lombardi trophy. Like, yeah, I'd say that's a pretty sweet reward for taking that risk. So just talking to Brandon, I think he's always felt that the rehab wasn't that hard. I mean, he's on like an ACL and all that. So he's had some tough rehabs. This one, because I think he probably didn't think it was that hard and it's the last game of the season, I think it's a no-brainer for him. So I think Brandon's going to play. I think we're going to see him out on the field in Super Bowl 59. And man, as this game gets closer, and as BG, you know he's going to play, I need this game to get here. So, speaking of Super Bowls, Eagles versus Chiefs, I did what no one else wanted to do, and I rewatched the last Super Bowl, and I thought it was an important exercise to learn about this upcoming game. So, on the other side, I'm going to give you all my takeaways from the rewatch of the last Super Bowl. First, a word.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Heard from our sponsors. Okay, let's get into what I think is important to do, what the team will be doing, what is useful to do, but maybe not fun to do. Let's talk about the Super Bowl that the Eagles lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, 38-35. I took time, I rewatched the full game, took notes, all types of thoughts. And here would be kind of my overarching opinion watching it before we get into some specifics. I think both teams are better than they were in this last Super Bowl. I don't think it's true that the Chiefs aren't as good and like, I think both teams are better. Rewatching them, and we'll get into the specifics as to why. I think this is like, again, you know, Jordan Mailata does the whole good on good thing. I think this is great on great. I think this is two great teams going at each other. And I think in the last Super Bowl, that wasn't really the case. They were both good teams, but rewatching them now, I think they're both better now. So let's go through the game, different thoughts, different things that happened, things I forgot about, and then we'll discuss more afterwards and, you know, kind of as we go. So the first thing that really stands out, and if you want to feel confident that the Eagles are going to win this game, it's really the first play of the game that should give you the confidence that the Eagles will win this rematch. So first play of the game, Miles Sanders gets the ball, runs to the line, bounces it outside as he did far too often during his time with the Eagles, fumbles the ball, it goes out of bounds. And that's kind of the last we see of Miles Sanders. Like, he had a few carries in the second half, I think. He had back-to-back carries that actually went for about 9 yards combined. But they basically didn't use Miles after that first drive. And he did have actually one big play, one key important play late that we'll get into. But they really didn't use Miles Sanders much. And the rest of that drive after the first drive, after that first play, was Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott. They used a ton of Kenny Gainwell in this game. Boston Scott got carries. Miles Sanders fumbles on that opening drive, and that's kind of it for him. So what will be the big difference this time is Saquon could fumble it on two straight carries, and they would still give him the ball time and time again in this game. There will be no committee in this game. Gainwell will play, and he'll get the ball, but Saquon will be the premier running back, and that's something that stood out in this game, too. They really did not run the ball well at all in this game. Part of it is, you know, obviously they moved away from Miles, but Kenny and Boston Scott had nice plays in the passing game, but they did not run the ball well in that first time. This time around, it would be pretty surprising if Saquon Barkley doesn't have a big game. Now, I know I saw a stat going around that the Chiefs haven't allowed a running back to get over 100 yards in something like 19 straight games. And maybe he won't get 100, but Kenny Gainwell in this game, 7 carries for 21 yards. Boston Scott, 3 carries for 8 yards. Miles Sanders, 7 carries for 16 yards. Of the, what they end up with, of the 115 rushing yards that they ended up with in that Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts had 70 of them. So I expect them to get much, much more going on the ground in this game. For sure. And on that first play, you can really see just the difference between this team as a running team and the last team that went to the Super Bowl. So the other thing that really stood out to me watching this was I think the Chiefs were the tougher team in this game. The play we just talked about where Miles Sanders gets drilled on the opening carry of the game. Later on in that same drive, they clock Devontae as he's going out of bounds. On the second drive, or I should say the defense's first drive, Fletcher Cox gets his helmet ripped off. There was the Chauncey Gardner hit late in the game, but outside of that, I really think the Chiefs just looked like the more physical game, and you could see that in the way that they ran it, and that's another thing that really stood out watching it. They ran all over the Eagles, and I think what was most surprising, especially after watching this team all year, is they ran right through the Eagles. The Chiefs ended up with, I think it was 158 yards rushing. I'd be surprised if this Eagles team gives up that amount of rushing yards, but it was a lot of yards after contact. Isaiah Pacheco ran through them time and time again. He did it early in the game. He did it on the first drive. He did it on the final drive of the game. The run game was a big time problem. And I think a lot of it was like, they just were more physical. Kansas City was the more physical team in that game. As we all know, the Eagles now are an incredibly physical team, incredibly tough team. It is interesting watching like this game through the lens of this year's team and what they've tried to correct. And a lot of like the things that lost them this Super Bowl are things that have been very big time emphasized by the coaching staff this year. And toughness, you know, the tough detail together thing that Nick has really been preaching, the toughness certainly is on display in this game. They were not the tougher team out there on the field. They just weren't. So the Eagles, they actually do go down the field and take the 7-0 lead. But the next possession, the Chiefs go right back down the field. And man, Kelce was a problem for this team throughout the whole game. And what was so surprising about what a problem he was is just how wide open he was. Now, you watch the Chiefs over the years, and he's very good at getting wide open, so he's not the first team that they've crushed. But that first touchdown, I mean, it was a really nicely designed play. They get Kelce one-on-one versus Epps. He gets a step on Epps. Epps, by the way, remember him. And Mahomes hits him with just a perfect throw. So that was like a sign of things to come, but just also that really stood out watching it. Travis Kelce, huge part of their offense. Now, you could look at that and say he's not as good as he used to be, and that is the case. But like a lot of what he did was not like run after the catch, running guys over. He just finds spaces and gets open. So we'll see. Zach Ertz had a big game last week in the championship game against this team. But Kelce, big time problem in the Super Bowl. I had forgot, by the way, that the Chiefs missed a field goal on their second drive. They very easily could have gone up 10-7 after the Kelce drive. The Eagles offense punts the ball away, and the Chiefs go down the field and very easily could have taken a 10-7 lead. The takeaway from that is, yeah, kicking matters. And going into this game, obviously it's in a dome. You hope that would help Jake Elliott, but a missed field goal there, Chiefs very easily could have had the lead. Another thing that stood out to me rewatching it, especially in the first half, is just the penalties that this team had. So on the second drive, as I just said, they ended up punting the ball. That's because on the first play of that drive, Zach Pascal gets, I believe it was an illegal blocking or something like that, and it puts them into 1st and 20 on the second drive. They end up punting. So you get a really good opening drive. They score a touchdown. The Chiefs respond. It's the Eagles' chance to respond, and they get a penalty that puts them into 1st and 20. They punt the ball, and the Chiefs, as I said, could have taken a lead on that drive. On that drive where the Chiefs missed a field goal, Ndamukong Suh, shout out to Ndamukong Suh, remember him, had a penalty that on third down gave him a first down. There was just some sloppy play from the Eagles. But the biggest kind of sloppy sequence, if you want to take two plays in this game and say, why could this Super Bowl be different and why can you feel differently about it? 3rd and 1, second quarter, 10-12 to play. The Eagles are up 14-7 and they have the ball. It's 3rd and 1. They're about to run the tush push. Penalty on Seumalo makes it 3rd and 6. It's a false start. So instead of being under center on 3rd and 1, about to run a tush push, Hurts ends up in the shotgun on 3rd and 6. And we all remember what happens there, unfortunately. Hurts drops the ball, essentially. He fumbles it. The Chiefs pick it up, and they run down for the touchdown. So who knows if the Eagles would have scored. I mean, they were moving the ball, but or on that drive, I should say. But 14-7 Maybe it's 17-7. Maybe it's 21-7. Instead, it's 14-14. And man, they just had so many chances early on in this game to build a lead. That fumble, it's just brutal. And that two-play sequence, I think, are two things this team doesn't really do. They don't make dumb penalties. You very rarely see this team make a dumb penalty. And they just don't turn it over. They just don't. Hurts has one interception in his last 15 games. He, I think, maybe has one lost fumble in the last 15 as well, maybe two, but he just doesn't turn it over. So that two-play sequence, like, this team, 2024 Eagles, looked like a better coach team to me. And just like they were cleaner, they were crisper. This team has been, I should say, compared to the team in the Super Bowl when I rewatched it. So that's a big play. Instead of 14-7 with the ball driving, it's 14-14. Now, despite all that, the Eagles still go ahead and build their lead. So the next possession, Hurts, just a fantastic throw to A.J. Brown. Now, a nice job by A.J. Brown adjusting to it, for sure. The ball, you could argue, is maybe a little underthrown. You could say he was trying to put it there. Regardless, it's a 45-yard touchdown. And what stood out watching it was, I don't know if Jalen makes that throw this year. I think he's capable of making it, but he's not really taking chances with the ball unless it's one-on-one down the sideline. In this play, it's not down the sideline. AJ's streaking down the middle of the field towards the corner of the end zone. And there are two defenders there. Like, you could argue it's not double coverage, but there are definitely two defenders within the vicinity of AJ. He still throws it and ends up being a touchdown. Does he throw that this year? Like, does he take that chance down the field? I don't know the answer to that. And later on, I think it was the next possession, he throws it to AJ into double coverage and it's nearly picked off. AJ does a good job making sure that it's not. So for as good as Hurts was, and he was good, we'll talk about some of the big plays he made. Like, he had a few, like, the bad plays he made were like almost disastrous and were disastrous. The fumble was disastrous and this really bad decision that nearly resulted in an interception, a bad one. But his throw to AJ for 45-yard touchdown, absolutely huge, puts the Eagles up 21-14. What also stood out to me watching this is just how different the defense was. Like, think of some of the players that were out there compared to now. Kaiser White, TJ Edwards, Marcus Epps, James Bradbury, Hassan Reddick, Javon Hargrave, Maddox was out there a ton. They're just a very different team now than they were back then. The defense is way better. I will say, watching this again, like, this idea the defense was the main reason they lost, I disagree with it. Like, the defense was not great, for sure, and they had a bad second half, but the offense was very hit or miss throughout it, and they made big mistakes as well. So, but just the difference in the personnel on the defensive side of the ball really stood out. You figure now Zach Bond is better than Kaiser White or TJ Edwards was. CJ GJ is probably playing better, and I would say definitely with Blankenship as well. They have better safeties than they did at that time. Bradbury was good in this game, I would say, outside of that hold, which we'll get to. But I think they have better corners. Really, the only thing I think is different is they don't have a premier edge rusher like Hassan Reddick. But Nolan Smith set a franchise record for sacks in the postseason. He still has one game to go. So they are getting good edge play as well. So that's definitely one thing going into this game. I know it's not breaking news, but they have more talent on the defense, and I think the defense is definitely better. Another thing that stood out to me, I think Hurts, he was a big-time runner in this game, as I said. He led the team in rushing with 70 yards. I think he looks the same now as he did then. I feel like we think in our heads that Hurts has slowed down. He's not the same guy. But when I just watch him run in this game, like, he looked the same to me now. I mean, he had the huge long run touchdown. Was it against the Packers or the Rams? But he had that long touchdown against, I think it was the Rams. He had a long run against Washington that I believe got called back. Like, he's made long runs recently, and I thought he looked good running the ball in the Super Bowl as well. So this idea that he can't make plays with his legs anymore and he's not the same threat, I disagree with it. And I thought he looked like the same runner to me as he did in the Super Bowl. So next up, Sirianni. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about, like, how he didn't go for it in the Super Bowl and he kicks the field goal. And then there's the punt, which we'll talk about when we get to the second half. But in the first half, Sirianni did. He was pretty aggressive. So 4th and 5, it's 14-14. There's 5 minutes to play in the second quarter. And the ball's on the Kansas City 44. He goes for it. And, you know, it's too far to kick. It's probably too close to punt. So it's not like a super risky one. But 4th and 5, tie game, it's not an obvious go either. Hurts ends up with a 28-yard run, which sets up an Eagles touchdown. But before that touchdown, 4th and 2, 14-14, 2:42 to play in the second quarter. Ball's on the 8. I understand going for this. I think it was the right call. But still, tie game, 4th down. You could easily kick it here. Kansas City jumps offside. They get a first down. Next play, the Eagles score a touchdown. So, two times on that touchdown drive, Nick went for it on 4th down. And it resulted in them getting 7 points instead of 3. So instead of being up 17-14, they're up 21-14. And that's because of Nick going for it on 4th down. And I think he should be aggressive in this game as well. Another thing that stood out is I think the Kansas City weapons are better now than they were then. So obviously, Travis Kelce, we can talk about, not the same player he used to be, but still very effective, still gets open, all those things. Not as athletic as he used to be. You could see watching the tape that this year, he definitely runs better, but a lot of the plays he made, like I said, were not after the catch running through guys. It's just finding space, getting designed open, and he can still do that. But you look at the receivers and the playmakers they had in that game. Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquise Valdez-Scantling, Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney. Isaiah Pacheco is probably better then than he is now. But now they have Xavier Worthy, who's been awesome. DeAndre Hopkins, not as good as he used to be, but still very good. And Hollywood Brown, I know he's missed a lot of the year, but also a good player. So I think the Chiefs have better weapons this time around than they did back in 2022. All right, so at this point, it's 21-14. The Eagles have the ball, and they're really in control of this game. So I had forgot about this play. So they're driving down the field, and Hurts hits Devontae with like an absolutely gorgeous 35-yard pass to get the Eagles down to the 13-yard line right before the half. Just a perfect pass. But it's ruled incomplete. You go back, I think he's in bounds. At the very least, it's very close. That's a massive play in this game, because if they get that, maybe they score a touchdown instead of kicking a field goal. So they end the half up 24-14. But the biggest takeaway I had watching this game, I remember sitting in the press box in Arizona and being like, oh, they got this. What I did forget was how different the game could have been. So they're up 24 to 14 at the half. Could have been 24-7 if not for that Jalen Hurts fumble. Could have been 31-7 if Jalen doesn't fumble it and that Devontae catch is correctly ruled a catch. So you're talking about being up 31-7. Instead, it's 24-14. It goes from a 24-point lead to a 10-point lead off of two very, very correctable things. The fumble, just don't drop the ball. Very unlikely that it happens. The Devontae catch, just rule correctly, he's up 31-7. So for as good as Steve Spagnuolo is as a defensive coordinator, they very, very easily could have put up 31 points on him in the first half. Like, that's how good their offense was. They could have put up 31 points on the Steve Spagnuolo defense in the first half, but they don't. They make mistakes. They have the fumble. The catch isn't ruled a catch. Like, little things, and it's 24-14. But still, you have to feel confident. And at one point, ESPN, I think I said this, but ESPN had them with a 78% chance to win the game. Like, they had this thing. They had this thing won. But as we all know, they didn't win it. So what happens in the second half? First of all, the run defense really lets them down. The Chiefs come out running the ball all over them the opening drive of the third quarter. As I said, Isaiah Pacheco just running through guys. The more physical team, he was a harder runner than I think the Eagles were tacklers. And it set the tone. And then, of course, with a running game to lean on, it's really hard to stop Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes had an amazing play where he's basically getting sacked. Jordan Davis is on him, and he gets the ball out to Travis Kelce. So instead of a sack, it's like a 7 or 8 yard gain. There's a 2nd and 3 play where Mahomes runs for 14 yards on that opening drive, gets him all the way down to the Eagles 4 yard line. Chiefs score. And again, now all of a sudden it's a 3-point game. Next possession, the Eagles dodge a bullet. I had forgotten about this play. We talked so much about, you know, the fumble by Jalen, the Miles Sanders near fumble on the catch. Man, that the Eagles got lucky on that one. I think he probably does fumble that ball. It's thrown to him. He turns to start to go up the field. He's hit. He drops it. Kansas City returns it for a touchdown. It's overruled. So for as much as the Devontae catch probably should have been ruled a catch and like the fumble, the Eagles dodged a bullet with this one. They kind of collapsed as a team in the second half. I shouldn't say kind of because they lost the game, but they didn't look like they look like they got shook. Like, that's the best way to put it. The defense absolutely collapsed. Miles Sanders nearly fumbles it. There's a play for Hurts on third down. It's third and six. There's a play later where they're unprepared on third down. Like, as much as people want to throw it on the defense for the second half, the offense really, they had their moments too of not moving the ball. So they dodged that bullet. But Hurts, and again, you know, me and James have talked about a bunch. I still think Mahomes was the better quarterback on the field that day. But Jalen made play after play, and he deserves credit. So on third down, it's third and six. He hits Goddard with an absolutely perfect 17-yard pass, puts it low where only he can get it. Jalen had a few big third down conversions in this game, and they're going to need that this upcoming, or two Sundays from now, because this is where Jalen's been special this year. He's taken care of the ball. He's been big on third down. And in the Super Bowl, he was big on third down. He just didn't take care of the ball. So despite all that, despite not taking care of the ball, he did have some amazing throws. The Quez Watkins drop, man, that was a killer. So it's a perfect throw. You could argue it's a little far out, like Quez has to extend to get it, but his hands, like he should get that ball. So instead of it being first and goal at like the 7 or whatever it would have been, it's third and 9. They get to delay a game. It's third and 14. Now, they actually, I believe, end up converting that because Hurts like hits a perfect pass to Dallas Goedert, just another unbelievable throw. But regardless, they don't score a touchdown on that drive. And here is where the Sirianni decision is that people get mad about. Fourth and 6, Kansas City 15, 24-21 Eagles, 2 minutes to go in the third. You kick the field goal to go up 27-21. A lot of people, and I think A.J. Brown, this is the one he's talking about, said when they kicked that field goal, they felt they were going to lose the game. I understand when to go for it, but fourth and 6, and you think about the three plays before. They had three bad plays before. Their offense was not clicking by any stretch. You don't get to fourth and 6 by moving the ball methodically. You could argue, like, just go for it. It's ultra aggressive. But I really don't think the decision to kick the field goal on fourth and 6 was a disastrous decision, as much as people make it out to be. It was not a clear go. It was just a chance to be ultra, ultra aggressive. And he passed on it. Now, hindsight's 20/20. Of course, now I'm sure he wishes he would have gone for it, knowing he was going to lose. But, like, the defense did stop KC in the first half. I don't know. I'm still okay with the decision. I still understand the logic of kicking the field goal. We can all say, again, we can all say now he shouldn't have done it. But fourth and 6, I don't think it was as clear as other people do to go for that. But it's a mischance by the offense. They could have been up 31-21. Instead, they're up 27-21. And, of course, the next play, Kansas City takes the lead, just run all over the Eagles. Again, they have that disastrous play in the red zone where Kadarius Toney is wide open on the right side. Get ready to hear that again because it happens later in the game on the left side. But Kansas City takes a 28-27 lead. And this was another major key in this game. They were not good against the blitz. On third and 3, first of all, the next possession, Kansas City takes the lead, 28-27. First down play doesn't give you anything. The second down play goes to Zach Pascal. I can't imagine it was designed for him, but you can't be throwing the ball to Zach Pascal in that spot. Third and 3, Hurts is blitzed. He's not ready for it. He runs around. The side he runs to doesn't have anybody there. And that's kind of ball game. The Eagles punt. Kadarius Toney has that huge return. And what stands out about the punt return is, A, obviously a disastrous punt. But, like, there were four guys just staring at him at one point, and none of them get to him. Like, well before the 65 yards. Probably he's run 5 or 10 yards at this point, probably more like 5 yards. Four guys staring at him. They just don't get him. He gets all the way down inside the 5. The Chiefs take a 35-27 lead a few plays later. So just a killer sequence there. After they take the lead 28-27, the offense completely stalls there. Third and 3, they don't do anything. Then the special teams falter. So as much as everyone wants to focus on the defense here, look at that sequence. Bad series by the offense, bad series by the special teams. Those are almost equally as bad as letting up a touchdown from the 5. Like, that touchdown basically goes on the special teams. So just a disastrous sequence from all three sides of the ball. Like, now, some people have said maybe Sirianni should have punted on that 4th and 3 after the blitz. The offense was not moving well. I don't think they would have gotten it. You could have just been like, YOLO, go for it, who cares? But I don't know. I think people want Nick to be reckless, but the team just wasn't playing well, and I kind of get the decision. So Kadarius Toney returns, they score, it's 35-17. Jalen takes him back down the field. He has a 3rd-and-4 completion to AJ for 11 yards. He hits Devontae Smith down the left sideline for that 45-yard gain down to the Kansas City 4. Probably should have been a touchdown, not a good throw by Jalen. Devontae probably could have stayed inbounds. And that ends up mattering because if he just catches that and runs in, they score with 5:45 to go. Instead, they end up scoring. Jalen has an awesome 2-point conversion run, and they score with 5:15 to go. Maybe the game plays out differently, but that 30 seconds could have really mattered at the end of the game. But Kansas City gets the ball 35-35, and we all know what happens. 3rd-and-1, the Eagles let up a 10-yard run. Mahomes has a 26-yard run up the middle to get them in the Eagles territory. And then 3rd-and-8, 1:54 to play, the play nobody wants to hear about. I still can't believe they threw that flag. For as much as people want to say the field mattered and blah, 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 that should not have been a flag that was thrown. The ball was way overthrown. Yes, he held him. He did it. But like in that spot with that throw, you can't throw that flag. So they do, and the game ends. So what are some of the main takeaways from this painful exercise that we just did? The Eagles, more yards, better on 3rd down, more plays, more time of possession. They had a 78% chance to win at one point. So why didn't they win the game? They had more penalties in key spots, and they had a turnover. Like, that's kind of it. They don't turn the ball over, they probably win the game. They don't have penalties, they probably win the game. It was that close. And watching them back, they are a better team now, but so is Kansas City. And what you should take from this is, while the Eagles are great and they could win the game, this is likely going to be a very close game. It'd be shocking if it was a blowout one way or the other. And Kansas City's really good at winning close games. And why is that? Because in this really close game, they had fewer penalties and they didn't turn the ball over. And obviously the special teams. That'll be what it comes down to. Can the Eagles take care of the ball? Can they play clean football? And that's it. They have the talent to make plays against Kansas City. Kansas City is a better team than they were in 2022. The Eagles are a better team than they were in 2022. It's going to come down to the margins. It's going to come down to taking care of the ball, not making mistakes. And in that Super Bowl, the Eagles did things the Chiefs did not. We can all kill the defense, but the defense basically they end up giving up 38 points. The defense basically gave up 24 points. The fumble wasn't on them, and the special teams wasn't on them. The offense put up 35 points. Like, the offense moved the ball too, but then they gave up the 7 points to the team. So in what was a 3-point game, special teams mistakes, turnovers, penalties, the Eagles lost it because of silly stuff. And so when Nick stresses, like, it's not about scheme, he's right. It's about playing clean football. And if the Eagles play clean football, they can win this game. But in this game, in this Super Bowl, they didn't play clean football. And that's why they're going for revenge in this rematch and not going into it with a Super Bowl ring. So that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for taking the time out of your day. Probably not the funnest thing to hear about this game, but I think it's important. And I think it's all good we think about it as we go into this game. So thank you guys so much for listening. As always, he's Elliot, I'm James. Talk to you guys later.